I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio live. I'm all the way from Los Angeles here and I'm hanging out with the one and only Paris. What's going on, Paris?
I'm the always opinionated Paris, which I think anytime someone had a problem with that, they got mad or something.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. Yeah, when we first released our intro, they didn't like that. They didn't like your part and they didn't like Pete's part. Mine was okay. But they were complaining like, man, why are they dissing Paris? Why are they dissing Pete? What's up with that?
That just reminded me of some one of the PR people here that we know we were talking. Remember he says he always loves that I'm either one extreme. Either it's completely negative or it's 100% positive. There's no middle ground with me.
That's awesome. So this is going to be a very special episode of Gamertag Radio. So, Paris, we got invited to this secret private gaming event over here. Technically, this is the week of pre-E3. And Ubisoft, thanks to them, we got to see a sneak peek of Far Cry 5. Wow, we have definitely got to talk about that. And also later, during the episode, we have an interview with Dan, the executive producer of the game too, so we're gonna play that later on. So Paris, your thoughts about Far Cry 5?
I just think, and you'll hear this when we play the interview, you know, the development's been 3 years in development, but the backdrop for this game, the setting for this game, the premise of what they're gonna do with Far Cry 5 is so relevant in 2017, right now, with the political climate in the United States, just everything that's going on, having these militia / cult type places up in Montana and that being the backdrop for this game is just so topical right now that it's very fascinating for me. And I even say it in an interview that I go, this scares me because it's real. This could happen. This isn't just, of course, it's a fictional story and everything that's taking place in the game, but something like this could happen. And yeah, I want to know more about Far Cry 5. I really do.
One of the things that during the interview, I mentioned that religion is like a very touchy subject to topic.
Either.
Whatever.
Hey, it's late, folks.
It's late. We've been drinking too. So anyways, it's a very touchy thing to talk about. Because, you know, people take that personally. So I mentioned that during the interview. And the first thing that Dan said is like, no, this is our religion. They just made this as a for the game. It's not like they're dissing anyone or any type of religion or anything like that. So, but it's crazy because either way, no matter what, people are going to take the game and they're gonna talk about it. I think the controversy that's gonna come up because of that, the militia, the cult, all that stuff, it's gonna go all around. And it got my attention big time. Man. Like I've never been a hardcore Far Cry person, but the way how they were explaining the concept of the game and everything, especially Dan, he was the one that did the presentation. It got my attention big time, and I'm very, very curious. Like, engine-wise, it reminds me of Ghost Recon Wildlands, but this is more first person. We learned a little bit about the characters, a little bit, not much. But wow, I'm super, super curious. And I hope, which I think they're going to have the game playable at E3. I'm very curious about the game, man. It really, really got my attention. I know it's fiction and everything like that, but still, man, I'm just curious to see, like, the topics they're going to talk about, like, during the when you play the game and everything like that, especially the militia against the government, all that stuff. It's very, very interesting, man. Like you said, it's very scary too, because yes, it could happen in real life. So,
well, and again, it's Far Cry. So the things that you expect in a Far Cry game, again, this was just a quick little sneak. It's funny. We had Q here earlier and he pointed out all the stuff that we say on the podcast, like the things we repeat. I just realized I always say that. It's funny. But, the one thing, this being a Far Cry game, is, yeah, it was a sneak peek, but you could see that the typical sandbox open world aspect of Far Cry is there that you would expect. And the father, quote, the quote unquote cult leader, militia. Militia. Militia leader is kind of your typical Far Cry villain. So, this is, I'm telling you, it's going to be a very interesting game. I can't wait till more information about this comes out at E3. And like Danny said, potentially it being hands-on and we just see how the sandbox plays with the story. And again, some of the additional characters that we're going to meet and that are going to be helping us out in this game and going against in this game, etc. I like this because it's different. This isn't, you don't see things happen in the United States in modern time tackling this type of subject. Again, like you said, Danny, this is going to be a very controversial game, in my opinion, because it's going to be hitting home for a lot of people and it's going to make some people upset and some other people, you know, they're going to be very excited about it. But I can see this being very polarizing.
I think the last time we got to see a very controversial game, I could think of two games. One is Grand Theft Auto, Vice City, or what was another one? The one that was here, Grand Theft Auto 3, that was here in Los Angeles.
That was San Andreas.
San Andreas. That was very controversial. Also, another game that was really, really controversial was maybe Call of Duty, which is the one that the attack at the airport.
That was Modern Warfare 3.
Okay. Those are the two. Was it Modern Warfare?
No, it was Modern Warfare 2. I'm sorry.
Modern Warfare 2. Those are the games that's very, very controversial that you could tell Fox News, CNN, like the major media talking about that. I could see that with this game because the story, it's like, it's deep, but like you said, it's real life. And at the same time, it's the militia, that's the government, also the religion part of it too, which technically is not a real religion that's part of the game. It's all made up, but still someone is going to take that, flip it, and start a controversy that every other major media site is going to pick it up and talk about that. And at the same time, it's like a way for a Ubisoft game to get promoted, not promoted. It's like free promotion basically because of the conversation, the controversy. I think I have never seen that from Ubisoft. I think so. Like, if you actually think about it, when was the last time we seen something like this from Ubisoft? I haven't.
No, you've not. And to kind of give people context, they're like, what the hell are you guys talking about? The thing is with, again, in our current political climate here in the United States, the way our government is currently being run in the United States, this is real. This is really happening in our country right now. You have people up in Montana and some of these other states like Wyoming or whatever, where they've basically sectored themselves off into these small towns and armed themselves to the gills to protect themselves and to basically wait for government to collapse and to make sure that their group of people are taken care of, if it needs to be by force or any means necessary. And that's kind of the premise of what this game is about. And it's real. I keep saying it, that it's real, because that's what trips me out about it. And just when Dan kind of got into everything that's going in this game, and you're thinking this could really happen, and we've already seen examples of things like this as has happened, you know, in the past 20 years. And to think that, yeah, if, look, I don't know what Republican, Democrat, or whatever you may be, but if things keep going the way that they're going right now in the real world, something like this could happen. And, you know, that concerns me, you know, it really does. And that's why I think this, yeah, this will definitely be a controversial game for Ubisoft, for sure.
So let me describe a little bit when we got into the location, the hotel where we're at right now. Now, for those that don't know, there was an event here a long time ago, I believe like 10 years ago. Microsoft had an event here. This is during the E3 Santa Monica days. This is like, what, 2007, 2008, Paris, right? Is it 2008?
2007.
So I get to this place, and I'm like, Paris, this hotel looks familiar, man. And Paris goes, Danny, this is where we were at when they had the Microsoft event here. This is where we got to see Halo 3 for the first time at a private room. Actually, the room that we got to see Far Cry, the new Far Cry game, wasn't actually the same room where we got to see Halo 3 10 years ago. So we were sitting down, whatever, and Dan was doing an introduction, talking about a little bit about development and all that stuff. And I'm like curious, okay, where this game is going to take place. One of the first images that he showed us was the American flag. And I'm like, okay, how are they going to flip this? How are they going to take this Far Cry game and flip it into like the whole United States? Like, how is it down somewhere down south? Is it going to be up north in New York? Like, how? I was super curious. But then he said Montana. I'm like, out of all places, Montana, why? And then he explained why. I was like, wow, that was a very smart move. And the thing is, they started working on this 3 years ago. So when he explained everything, I was like, man, dude, the timing is so perfect. And it wasn't even planned. Like, they loved the concept. And now what everything is going on now is perfect for the game. And I think that he explained a little bit about the characters and everything. It's good, man. I think it's going to get a lot of attention, especially those that are not fans of like Far Cry or never played a Far Cry game. You could play this. And still, it's like a fresh, brand new story. You don't need to play the other ones. You're good. It's the same thing, similar to like Grand Theft Auto or like a Final Fantasy game. Brand new story, brand new game.
No, I agree. And you know, I feel like I'm just repeating myself at this point. But it's, yeah, well, of the main antagonists, you have the father. I believe his name is Joseph. And then you have the older son. You have the younger son. And then you have the half-sister. And they're kind of basically the gatekeepers and the leadership in this, I keep saying cult, but it's really not a cult. So I'll just say militia, you know. It's a sneak peek. So we're going to find out more information. So it's like, I don't want to speculate too much because we're going to hear more. But I'll just say again that I really like that this is taking a different approach to the Far Cry series. And it's going to be a game that makes people think, you know. It's not just a mindless, hey, we're on an island and there's dinosaurs running around or something crazy like that. It's a scenario that could really happen. And that's why. And look, it's Far Cry. So I know a lot of things are going to be over the top. You know, you're going to have the whole sandbox to play with and weapons and different vehicles and things like that. But the bare bones premise of what they're talking about, like you said, they started it 3 years ago, but it actually really hits home now in 2017 with everything that we're going through in the United States.
This game reminds me a lot of Ghost Recon, though, Paris. Like, I'm thinking how open this world is going to be. Is it going to be something bigger like Ghost Recon? Is it going to be smaller? I don't know. Like, when they show a couple of these videos, like how it is with open world, the people walking around and so on. It reminds me a lot of Ghost Recon. The only difference is Ghost Recon is third person view. This one is first person view. Besides the whole story, which we talked about for like 12 minutes and everything like that, do you think that's also gonna get your attention a lot because of that. The whole graphics and you're looking real weird. The whole I'm talking about, like, beside the story, new location, Montana, the environment. It seems like it's like, you know, like it looks like a farm, right? Yeah, Montana. It's not a major urban city or anything like that. I mean, like, Ghost Recon is in the middle of like Bolivia, a lot of mountains and so. So the environment. Do you think that's gonna get your attention a lot to walk around and check out like the areas that you could go? And I'm wondering how big this world is too.
Well, again, that's to be determined. I mean, I'm sure we'll see more D3 about just how big the environment's going to be. But again, I like that setting because it's different. It's not just set in some big city or some made up island or some futuristic world that we don't know anything about. It's the United States in 2017 in Montana. So that's a place that you can go look up on a map right now and you know what you're seeing. Now, again, the town is fictional and all that, but the area and everything that they're trying to do with that environment is a real environment. So, yeah, it's going to have exploration. There's going to be things that you're going to see and you're going to want to do. So, man, I dig it. I'm excited to find out more about this game.
So right now we're going to play the interview with Dan. And once we come back, we're going to wrap it up.
Gamertag Radio is headed to E3 2017.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio, and you don't want to miss this.
Join hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo direct from the convention center floor.
What are the plans for Microsoft? We're going to see more new titles from Sony PlayStation. And how about Nintendo? Interviews, roundtable discussion, previews, hand-on impressions, and more.
E3 2017 coverage on Gamertag Radio.
June 11th through the 15th. GamertagRadio.com or play.it/Gamertag.
All right, this is Paris, Gamertag Radio. We're here in Santa Monica, California, here with Danny. And we just got to see Far Cry 5. And I got someone here to talk about it. So can you please introduce yourself?
Sure. My name is Dan Hay. I'm the executive producer on Far Cry and the creative director on Far Cry 5.
Thank you for joining us. Now, I just have to say, wow, cool. From the presentation that you just showed us regarding Far Cry 5 and its setting. So can you kind of talk about where this is taking place and kind of why?
I think where it's taking place is we're taking players to Montana. We're taking players to America for the first time in the franchise. And I think that the reason why is that we know that Far Cry is about visiting a frontier. But what we thought in this game would be really interesting is to kind of put it in your own backyard, right? Give players the opportunity to experience something. Yes, Far Cry is exotic. Yes, it usually takes you, you know, 1,000 miles away. But this time, plumb the depths of the things that are maybe at home or in your backyard that could be tweaked and be even more interesting than you could believe.
So, sorry, I looked away. So again, it's in Montana, but what time period is this game happening in?
It's now. It is now. Present day.
Yep. So, okay. I know, you know, development ideas for this probably happened way in the past. We obviously know what's going on in America right now. So how timely is this game compared to what we're seeing in our political climate?
You know, it's an interesting question. We get asked questions like that all the time. It's like, it's kind of chicken or the egg. Did the creative come born from what's happening now? And the answer is no, probably not. But of course, the events that lead us to where we are have to have some kind of reflection on us. But at the same time, we've been thinking about this game for 3 years. We've been thinking about this idea of a place where people are, you know, distrusting, people are frustrated, and that the global consciousness is that we're experiencing in the world right now is even maybe a reflection of what some of the people in the game are feeling. But it's not specifically about a political agenda at all. It's more about the idea that it feels like we have a character in our game that believes that we are creeping closer to the edge of something. And I think that's relevant now. I think you kind of wake up in the morning and you feel a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. And this character is saying, we're this close. And maybe we should do something about it. Maybe we should prepare.
There was, I know also during the presentation, you talked about also religion in there. And going back when I was in my teens, I was confused at the whole religion part. Like I was reading a lot of books and everything. And I remember going to an organization. To me now it's like a cult. I can see why people take that like super personal, like when it comes to the whole religion stuff and they follow cult leader and everything like that. I think a lot of people are going to talk about that once this game gets announced pretty soon. So how important was that to really do research more like a lot about religion and so on for you guys?
I think it was super important for us to do that. And the mm-hmm. key thing for us was to be able to make it our own, right? Mm-hmm. Even though the game takes place in Montana, it's our Montana. And Hope County doesn't exist it exists in our world, but it's not there in the real world. Mm-hmm. And when we did this, we wanted to be able to make sure that from, you know, the question about religion or the question about spirituality, that there was a magnetic leader who had a belief, a single belief, that the end of times was coming, that he was magnetic and had the ability to rally people around that, and that maybe he hijacked elements from religions that he'd read about or seen, but that it was when we build that religion or that construct or that idea in the world, mm-hmm. it's ours. So we want to be careful to make sure that we're reverent to religion, that we're not, it's specifically ours. And we want to make sure that his mandate, that the dogma that he believes in, lives in Far Cry 5 alone.
Yeah, can you talk a little bit about the characters too?
Sure.
In the game?
So without giving too much away, I think you guys saw the father and some of the family members today. And what's really interesting about this guy is that he's been hearing this voice. And this voice has been telling him that the end of times is coming. And he almost considers himself to be this modern day Noah. The only difference is the animals aren't going to come to him. He's going to have to go and get them, whether they want to be saved or not. And in that case, that's us. That's people in the world. He's basically going to go out and try and save them, whether we want to be saved or not. And that creates a really interesting mandate and a really interesting collision of events in the game.
Now, this whole topic really fascinates me. And it really, as you were giving your presentation, really kind of got the wheels turning in my head. You know, we obviously know about what happened in Oregon a little while back, or we even think of someone like David Koresh going back to, you know, back to when that happened years ago. But in your research and what you've been seeing as you've been building this game, what's the draw to like a cult? To like, we're seeing these milita and the compounds. What's drawing people to look at this one person and saying, we're going to rally around this and we're going to come together and we're going to stand for whatever their cause may be? What have you seen in your research?
That's interesting. It's hard to classify it down to one thing. I think it's partly the magnetic nature of the people who are doing the talking, right? And the message is, you know, if somebody meets you at the right time and you're feeling disenfranchised, or you're feeling lonely, or you're feeling broken, or you're feeling like you've been pushed out, or you've been ostracized, or you're just not feeling special, right? Or not being heard. I think that there's an opportunity to be able to have somebody come in and say the right thing to you at the right moment that just sort of fills the well that's maybe a little empty inside, or just begins to give you a mandate. Some people just have this feeling like they want to have a purpose. And when you meet somebody who's magnetic, when you meet somebody who has a goal, whether it's altruistic or not, and they provide you with that purpose, good works can be done, but also horrible things can happen.
Now, the other thing that you brought up, which quite honestly scares me, just being honest, is in this fictional world of Far Cry 5 that you've created with the father and this militia that he now runs and owns, he's getting prepared for the collapse. And he has this group believing in him, waiting for the collapse. What I'm seeing is, and what you kind of talked about a little already, is what if the collapse isn't happening fast enough and he needs to give it that nudge? You're looking to kind of egg the situation along, kind of give it a little nudge so that it happens. So in Far Cry 5, is this kind of the scenario that we're going to see? I know you want to give away too much story-wise, but is this kind of part of what we're going to see, where we're just going to give it that little nudge to kind of push it in a certain direction?
Without giving too much away, here's what I imagine when I try and get in the head of the father. But for years now, he's been saying that the collapse is coming. For years now, he's been prognosticating that very specific things are going to happen. And he's got all these people that are listening to him. And eventually the eyes of those people are going to look at him and say, when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And that must be frustrating. That must be an incredible amount of pressure. And we know that when you add pressure to a situation that's already a little bit off, the results could be catastrophic. In this case, we put the player in the middle of that with Joseph under pressure, the father under pressure. We have the player go in and we create a situation where it could become explosive, and it is.
I know you guys started working on this 3 years ago. So based on everything that's going on now, because the timing, I think, is like perfect with this. Have you guys also made changes based on what's going on now, too, while you were developing the game?
It's an interesting question. And I think that the truth of the matter is not specifically changes, no. It's I don't think that we read what's going on in the news and go, oh, wait, hold on, we have to put this in. Or we read what's being said in the newspaper or what's on television. We don't do that. We had an idea for this game. And whether it's serendipity, whether it's just fate, it kind of aligns. I think it was 50% by design and 50% luck, right? That it kind of matches what's going on and what the global consciousness of people feel is. But when it comes to whether or not, you know, something is going to happen tomorrow and it's going to affect the game, or in a couple of months and affect the game, I think we have to be careful with that. We have a creative, we have an idea, we have something that we want to be able to do. And if we're going to stay true to that, the danger of trying to make something where you make everything possible is you end up making nothing. And I would rather, we had a kernel of an idea 2.5 to 3 years ago. We had this idea that this person believes the end is coming and they feel the weight of the pressure of it. They feel this mandate. They believe it. And we put you in the middle of that in a classic Far Cry way where, you know, when I think about Far Cry, when I think about a story for Far Cry, I just imagine I'm sitting at a bar and I'm drinking a scotch and I hear somebody come up and sit next to me talking to their buddy, and they basically tell a story that feels like an urban legend. And when I listen to it, that's a Far Cry story. And when I listen to this and almost see it through your eyes for the first time, like fresh, it absolutely has that that feeling of being in a bar and hearing that story and going, Jesus, that's powerful.
Is there any books or movies that inspired you guys to come with?
There's a ton. We go through a ton of research on this. We met with cult experts. We actually went to Montana. We read a ton. I won't go into specifically what we read, but there's a ton of stuff out there, and there's a lot of smart people that can, you know, came in and helped us and talked to us about it. The other thing too that's cool is that we're a big team and we're a diverse team. So just in terms of personal experiences and different things and characters, you leverage the stories you hear even within the team.
Okay, and finally, obviously we got to see a little snippet of everything that's going on, and we know E3 is coming up and you guys will be talking about more in the future, so probably won't get too in-depth right now. But is there anything else that you want to leave people listening to this to know about Far Cry 5 as we go into E3?
Great question. Good question.
That's what I try to do.
You know what? When it's super simple, and maybe it's super like it's micro, but there was a moment where we were in Montana and we were hunting and we're out in the middle of nowhere, and it was tired and cold, and at the end of the day, we're about to get in the truck and end the day. And the guy that we're with goes, don't move. Okay, what's going on? He goes, look. And we look over at his dog, and his dog is just absolutely staring at this bush. And we're watching this dog, and we're out there what feels like an eternity watching this dog. And at the last minute, he barks, and this grouse goes, and he goes, always trust your dog. And that feeling of the pet, that feeling of having a pet that goes with you in Far Cry, which is what we learned a little bit from when you play Primal, and that feeling of companionship and having a real bond with that pet. That's something that's it's new for us. It's really powerful. And I think people are going to love it.
Well, Dan, thank you for taking some time to talk to us about Far Cry 5. Cool. You have absolutely piqued my interest.
Cool.
Probably scared Scorpion shit out of me, telling me all the stuff, but I'm excited to hear more about it.
Right on.
Can't wait to E3 and just more in the future. So thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. I mean, that sounds good, right? It sounds like something you would want to eat. And it's meals like these that make Blue Apron the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Blue Apron provides you with an amazing variety of meals that you can select or get a grab bag of sorts selected by the Blue Apron culinary team. Either way, each meal you receive from Blue Apron comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card and pre-portioned ingredients, and the typical meal takes anywhere from 40 to 45 minutes. Time is money, and not only do you save time by not having to go to the store, but for less than $10 per person per meal, Blue Apron delivers great-tasting, seasonal recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've bought a bunch of cilantro parsley for a meal and only used a little bit of it, and the rest of it ends up in the garbage. So you're saving time and money, and you get a great meal all at the same time. So all you got to do, check out this week's menu, get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/gamertag. You'll love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/gamertag. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Back on the scene.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Paris, that was a great interview. Great vibe. Great questions. Great questions. Actually, I think you got him pretty good with that. I think it was one of the last questions. He was like, wow, I never thought about that. It was like an E3 question, basically, right? What was your reaction when he said that? Like, man, you got me for a second. But even people that were there were like, it's not a hard. I personally think I thought it wasn't a hard question, but I think at the moment for him it was.
Well, I think the whole point of that one was, it's like, what do you want people to take away from this knowing about Far Cry? So it was kind of a simple question, but then when you really think about it, you have to answer it on a deeper level. And I think that's what it was, where it's like, huh, I never thought of it that way kind of thing. Cause you know, this is a video game, but I keep saying it, this subject, like I said in the interview, this scares me because again, it's real. I cannot stress that enough. This could happen. Let's put it this way. I can't go to Montana and roll up in one of those towns because I'm not leaving if I do. You see what I'm saying? So yeah, I can't wait to find out more about the game. I really want to know more about the game and see what direction that they're going to take this.
Before we wrap it up, Paris, and I know we talk a lot about Far Cry and everything. Your thoughts, because your thoughts about you're looking at me all weird. Your thoughts about, like, okay, we're getting a new Assassin's Creed, we're getting a new Far Cry game. Right now, Assassin's Creed is like a huge question mark. Nobody really knows what the hell's going on with that game, like where it's going to take place or anything. But there's a rumor that that game is coming out March of 2018. Far Cry, maybe this year. Your thoughts about that? Because usually I'm so used to seeing Assassin's Creed in November every year. So do you think that was smart for them to let Far Cry get their attention maybe for this year or sometime next year? I mean, I don't know exactly. And then focus on Assassin's Creed for next year.
Absolutely. Because Assassin's Creed needed a break. So if it doesn't come out until March of 2018, we're looking at almost a year and a half that they got to take off, gave it more extra time, development. And, you know, it's rumored to be happening in Egypt, by the way, just so you know. But I like this model that Ubisoft is taking where, all right, we give you a big game in the holiday and then we also give you a big game in the spring. So that kind of seems to be the pattern right now. And then in the middle of that, they mix in a brand new IP. You know, because like example, to give you an example, last year was Watch Dogs 2. Then in February, we got the new IP with For Honor. And then we got Ghost Recon in March. And it looks like we just found out that South Park is coming out in October. I'm going to speculate that Far Cry will be in November. Then we would get an Assassin's Creed in a March. Maybe there's a new IP in between that somewhere. We'll find it at E3.
You did say for a while there's going to be Splinter Cell. I think it's not going to happen this year, Paris. It's not going to happen. But they do have an announcement for Switch game.
He like started pointing at me violently. But I'm not giving up on Splinter Cell yet. They can still announce one. It can get announced. Yeah, for next year. So I'm not giving up on it yet. There could still be a Splinter Cell. I'm not saying, oh, it's playable and all this at E3, but they can, Sam Fisher can put down the goggles at E3. That could happen. That could be their one more thing. Like, oh, hey, don't forget this guy. He's coming back, which, by the way, they gave him a break, which is what a lot of these older IPs need. Stop shoving them down our throat. Let them take a break for a little bit, then bring them back and we'll be excited about them again. So I hope to see a Splinter Cell in the next 2 years.
So we're going to wrap it up. Head over to GamertagRadio.com or play.it/GamerTag. Listen to our past episodes. And also you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/GamertagRadio.
Paris, it was fun, man. It was a lot of fun to come here for like a day. I just flew from New York to Miami and Miami to LA to be with Paris. And are you ready for E3, Paris? Because I'm ready.
You can never be ready for E3, but we're going. So we'll figure it out.
Awesome, man. All right. Until next time, we're out. Take care, guys. Peace.
Listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.